in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Achtung, VOA sports fans. Achtung. The Bundesliga in Germany has become the first major European football league to resume its season in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Bundesliga players competed over the weekend in unprecedented conditions, most notably empty stadiums. Joining us now with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Football showed its fighting back against coronavirus as action resumed in Germany's Bundesliga over the weekend. Erling Haaland, Rafael Guerrero and Thorgan Hazard all recorded their names on the score sheet as Borussia Dortmund marked the return of the Bundesliga with a convincing 4-0 derby win over Schalke. The game will mostly be remembered for the airy atmosphere at Dortmund's iconic Signal Iduna Park Stadium, with every shout by players or coaches audible, and social distancing protocol followed by substitutions and during goal celebrations. Champions Bayern Munich also scored a goal late in each half to beat promoted Union Berlin 2-0 on their return to protect their 4-point lead at the top. Robert Lewandowski gave the champions the lead with a penalty, his 40th goal in 34 Bayern games this season, before Benjamin Pavard headed in a late second from Joshua Kimmich's corner. Players' shouts echoed off the empty rows of concrete terracing around Union Stadium, a real shame for Union, whose link with their supporters is legendary in Germany. Bayern goalkeeper Manuel Neuer later said it was, quote-unquote, a question of motivation of attitude to succeed without fans in the stadium, and that the game seemed to take longer than usual. Mainz also fought back to draw 2-2 with Cologne, while Daniel Ginczek struck a dramatic injury time winner as Wolfsburg snatched another 2-1 victory against Augsburg, boosting their hopes of European football next season. Alexandre Lacazette could face disciplinary action from Arsenal after the club said that they will seriously look into a report that the French striker inhaled nitrous oxide from a balloon. The French striker has previously been warned about a similar offense of inhaling the substance, also known as laughing gas. Nitrous oxide is not illegal in Britain, but experts say recreational use can be dangerous. Lacazette has also been in trouble with the club over nitrous oxide balloons in the past. In August 2018, the striker was pictured inhaling balloons alongside teammates Mesut Ozil, Matteo Guendouzi, and Gabon talismanic striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, with the players involved later reminded of their responsibilities by the club. Arsenal have also resumed individual training amid the shutdown. Club Brugge were formally declared Belgian champions after the country's Pro League confirmed last month's decision to bring the season to a premature halt because of coronavirus. They had an unassailable 15-point lead over Gent with one match left when the season was suspended. It is a 17th title for Club Brugge and their third in the past five seasons, and they will have an automatic spot in next season's Champions League group phase. Belgium was the first country in Europe to cancel its league, but the decision still had to be ratified by the clubs at last Friday's General Assembly. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitro-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Nigerian striker Odion Ighalo joined the English Premier League club Manchester United at the end of January in a short-term loan deal. The 30-year-old Ighalo described it at the time as a dream to play for Man U, a club he's long supported. The loan move between Man U and the Chinese club Shanghai Greenland Shenhua is due to expire next month. What are Ighalo's options? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
Odion Ighalo's options are essentially that United takes the option to extend his loan deal or convert it into a proper transfer, which then means that he stays on for more than this season. His original deal was supposed to expire at the end of May, unfortunately because of the coronavirus crisis. We haven't had the Premier League season concluded, but he's done pretty well for United, and from all indication, they might take up the option to extend his stay because he offers them a lot in terms of his goal-scoring ability and an option off the bench as well, even if Rashford is back.
Ighalo's Chinese club has offered him £400,000 per week, or Man United should pay £20 million to keep him. What's your take on this?
Offered him a very mouth-watering increase pay, some speculations of £400,000 a week. The idea, I believe, is to give them a much better bargaining position if United were to take the option to sign him up on the longer term. So for them, you know, he's also giving them a lot of good publicity by moving there. There are people who never knew that a club like that existed until this deal. And because when you move to United, that is one of the biggest clubs in the world, if not the biggest club in the world. And for Ighalo, he's in a position where, you know, if he goes back to China, he earns a lot of money. If he stays back United, he fulfills not just his aspirations and dreams as a childhood United fan growing up, but also leaves a legacy as someone who's played for one of the top clubs in the world. So the way it's a scenario where, you know, everybody wins. Ighalo wins, United wins, and Shenhua also wins at the end of the day. I think a lot will depend on what happens in the next couple of weeks when the league starts, and we then see where the position of United is, but definitely a very, very interesting prospect for all parties.
Do you think Odion Ighalo should be recalled to the Super Eagles play for Nigeria?
For Odion Ighalo, yes, he has announced his retirement from international football, but that was before he moved to United. And with his form, if he continues that form when they return, I definitely think he should reconsider his decision, because, you know, playing international football, he can still play in the next World Cup and probably have a chance to also extend his international legacy. He's already amongst the current crop of players, already the top scorer. And, you know, in terms of his record, he's also getting close to the top five of all time for Nigeria. He's 30, and he still has maybe another three to four good quality years of playing at the top level. So if he's going to remain at United, if I was him, I'll take up the option of coming back to play for Nigeria. Nigeria is a top team, and if they qualify for the World Cup, it will be a very good way for him. Much rather end his career after the next World Cup. Some people might say, you know, what if it doesn't work out? But I mean, Ighalo has always scored goals for Nigeria. So right now, there are a couple of young strikers coming through. Osimhen is one who's done so well. But, you know, there's always the possibility. I mean, Roger Miller was scoring goals for Cameroon at Italian 90 when he was 38. And he even went a step further and scored a goal in at USA 94 at the age of 42. So I personally believe that Ighalo's still got a lot more to offer to Nigeria. And so he should reconsider.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Emeka. A pair of sneakers worn by basketball great Michael Jordan 35 years ago have been auctioned off for more than $500,000. Reuters reporter Gloria So tells us more.
NBA legend Michael Jordan's first ever Air Jordan sneakers have fetched a record $560,000 in an online auction. Auction house Sotheby's said on Sunday the game-worn autographed sneakers from Jordan's rookie season were expected to sell for between $100,000 and $150,000. The auction coincided with the 35th anniversary of the Air Jordan brand and the screening of the 10-part ESPN documentary The Last Dance about Jordan's legendary run with the Chicago Bulls. Like most of Jordan's basketball shoes, the Air Jordan 1s, designed for him in 1985, are a mismatched pair in size 13 and 13.5. They were sold by collector Jordan Geller, the founder of the sneaker museum Shoezeum in Las Vegas. Sotheby's e-commerce director Bram Wachter said the record sale shows, quote, not only the incredible appeal of Michael Jordan, but also that sneaker collecting is truly a global and growing market. Known for selling multi-million-dollar art, Sotheby's held its first auction dedicated entirely to sneakers last year. It set a then-world record sale of over $437,000 for a pair of 1972 Nike running shoes known as the Moon Shoe.
Thanks, Gloria. That's Reuters reporter Gloria So. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Dan Friedel caught up with the Voice of America's Seoul Bureau Chief to talk South Korean baseball. Here's Dan.
We're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports today by Bill Gallo, who's reporting for Voice of America from Seoul, South Korea. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be here.
Bill and I, for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners, got to know each other working at Voice of America primarily because of the VOA softball team. We played together on the infield. I played third base. He played shortstop for a couple of good years on the VOA softball team.
They were good years. We were good teams back then.
We did have good teams. We had a couple of big wins in the Washington, D.C. area media softball league. I wanted to ask you about a sport that's similar to softball, and that's baseball. South Korea is playing baseball only over the last couple of weeks. What's the atmosphere like there in South Korea as people have welcomed professional sports back?
People were really excited whenever the Korean Baseball League restarted. It had been delayed for, somewhere around a month. And then they started by resuming practice games, like scrimmage games, inter-squad games. Like, those were, of course, without fans. And there was a lot of people watching that, actually, because baseball's a really seasonal sport. And when spring rolls around, baseball fans, they really need this. And so all they had at one point were teams playing practice games against each other without fans. And teams here were streaming that on YouTube. And it was actually getting a lot of viewers, both in Korea and internationally. And then they actually started the regular season, like you said, a week or two ago, and that has, again, gotten a lot of interest, although no fans at the actual games yet.
Bill, I read a report that you produced for VOA about one of those preseason games with no fans in the stands. I myself, 5 years ago, worked at a Baltimore Orioles baseball game where there were no fans. And I wanted to get a sense from you of what it was like to cover a baseball game without any fans in the stadium.
It's weird. For, I think, baseball purists, it's a bit cool, actually, because you really get to hear what the players are saying. Of course, I don't speak Korean yet, so I can't really know what the players are saying, but you can very clearly hear them talking to each other. You can hear the chatter between managers, between coaches and players and umpires. The crack of the bat is super loud because most of the stadiums in the Korean Baseball League are in kind of urban settings, and there's just a real echo that happens every time there's a crack of the bat or someone groans or, someone catches a ball in a glove. Everything echoes off of all the buildings surrounding the stadium, and it's just a really weird experience. I have to say I enjoyed it, although it's a bit different than Korean baseball games usually, because the one thing that people will point out about Korean baseball, other than the way they flip the bat, is how raucous they are with the chants and the noise. I mean, it's for 9 innings, for the entire game, these fans are chanting and screaming. That's the one thing that sets it apart from American baseball, and that is obviously missing now. So it's even more surreal than usual, I would say.
We're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by Voice of America correspondent Bill Gallo, who's based in Seoul, South Korea. Bill and I are talking about the resumption of professional baseball in Korea only over the last couple of weeks. Bill, when you're out and about in the city, you posted a photo recently on social media of people out enjoying the evening, mostly wearing face masks. But are people gathered around TVs watching these baseball games? Is the attention being paid pretty intense, even if fans can't go to the games in person?
Yeah, really the only way to do it, other than watching on your mobile device or something, is to go to sports bars and things like that. And at some of the stadiums nearby, there will be bars where people do gather to watch games. And there is some interest in that. But, you know, sort of the interesting thing for me is whenever you get in a taxi cab here, they're typically older males that are taxi drivers, maybe like in many places. And so many of the taxi drivers will have the games streaming, probably, I guess it's on YouTube, on a cell phone that's connected to their dash. Maybe it's not the safest thing in the world to do, but you're seeing that a lot more. You can definitely tell that people here are very interested in watching baseball again.
That's Bill Gallo, the Voice of America's Seoul Bureau Chief. And Bill was talking with Dan Friedel from Seoul, South Korea. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in the United States, Major League Baseball is planning new guidelines in reaction to the coronavirus pandemic. The AP's Shelley Adler reports.
Major League Baseball will look somewhat like high school ball this year under protocols to deal with the new coronavirus, with showers at ballparks discouraged and players possibly arriving in uniform like they did when they were teenagers.
There's no crying in baseball!
And there could be no spitting either when and if the boys of summer return. According to a 67-page draft of Major League Baseball's proposed 2020 operations manual, spitting is prohibited along with water jugs. A copy of the draft was sent to teams Friday and obtained by the Associated Press. The traditional exchange of lineup cards would be eliminated, along with high fives and fist bumps. The guidelines, which were first reported by The Athletic, are subject to negotiations with the Players Association. I'm Shelley Adler.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit. D.C.
Turning to African athletics, the 2020 Comrades Marathon in South Africa has been canceled, as we hear now from Samson Omale.
Comrade Marathon Association Chairperson Cheryl Wynne said the decision was taken after consultations between the Comrades Marathon Association and the provincial governing body, KwaZulu-Natal Athletics.
The decision, we've sort of had no alternative but to take in order to protect the future of the race, because we need, you know, you must understand that 9 months into the planning of the race, we've paid salaries, we've paid for electricity, we've paid rates.
The race was originally scheduled for June 14th, but a month ago, it was postponed to a suitable date later in the year. Some of the potential runners expressed disappointment over the postponement.
I think again, it presents itself for all the new runners and the runners that have entered Comrades to stand in solidarity in remembrance of all of those that are experiencing COVID and are going to experience COVID.
I think at the end it was a good decision.
What can we do if our government says so, is doing it in the best interest of the country?
The epic race, which recorded 16,702 finishes in 2019, was to be a down run this year from Pietermaritzburg to Durban over approximately 90 kilometers. And now to Kenya, where the Moi International Sports Center Kasarani in Kenya will host the World Athletics Continental Tour and the World Under 20 Championships. Nairobi Athletics Meeting, one of the 8 legs in the inaugural World Athletics Continental Tour, will be held on September the 26th this year, having been postponed from May 2nd due to the novel coronavirus. The World Under 20 Championships was planned for July 7th to 12th this year, but World Athletics rescheduled it for a later date that will be decided in the course of next week. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
3 of the world's best women pole vaulters competed over the weekend in a special online event. Bringing us the results is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Earlier this month, 3 of the top male pole vaulters in the world competed in their own backyards in the first ever Ultimate Garden Clash. And on Saturday, it was the women's turn. Greek record holder and Olympic champion Katerina Stefanidi took on American indoor champion Katie Najat and Canadian Commonwealth Games champion Alicia Newman for the second edition of the virtual competition. The event was again presented by World Athletics and mimicked the format of its predecessor. Whoever makes the most successful clearances in 30 minutes wins. But instead of competing in their backyards, the women set their bars at 13 feet from training facilities nearby. Halfway into the competition, they had amassed a combined total of 47 vaults, the exact number achieved by the men at the halfway stage of their competition. But unlike the men, who finished with a two-way tie for gold, Katerina Stefanidi maintained her early lead to overtake her competitors as the clear winner. Stefanidi struggled a bit in the final minutes of the event. She knocked down the bar more than once, and her achy arms made it a challenge to put it back into place. But despite fatigue and temperature soaring above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, the European champion managed to clear the bar enough times to finish with a score of 34. World Athletics commentator made the call, and the clearly exhausted champion was a woman of few words.
34 differences. Stefanidi. She's heading over towards the camera.
My arms are so tired of it. The bars are pulling it.
Stefanidi later praised the virtual competition and said its format was a great way to switch off the mental chatter and just focus on the vault. Second place winner American Katie Najat finished just 4 vaults behind at 30 and said for her, the battle was purely physical.
Maybe in this situation, as I was getting towards the end and feeling like I was going to throw up and I couldn't really see straight, it maybe wasn't quite as fun. But it was, I mean, it's just, you get to fly, and there's really nothing else that it can compare to. So I think it's well worth going out and trying, and it's just fun. It's just so much fun.
Alicia Newman said she needed to focus on the mind-body connection to help her beat Canada's heat and achieve 21 clearances to take third place.
It was like my legs started getting like thicker. I could start like feeling like a lot heavier. I was getting pulled down to the ground. So it was really, really funny that you just had to keep like thinking like tall knees, tall toes, and tall at takeoff.
I had a lot of fun. I was very excited after the first part because I thought I can take 2 less jumps in the second part and still match the guy. And I did take 2 less jumps, but I also missed twice. So that cost me tying the guy. But I had a ton of fun. I wish it was a little cooler because I really had some issues with my grip because it was so hot. I kept sweating and I kept having to respray for my grip. So that definitely added some seconds to every jump. But I very much enjoyed it.
The second edition of the Ultimate Garden Clash proved to be just as popular as the first. Viewers tuned in to the women's competition from all over the world, including places such as Australia, Indonesia, and Jamaica. Afterwards, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said, despite the high temperatures, the competitors' resilience and skill won the day. And he added, quote, in my eyes, they are all winners. And our thanks to World Athletics for providing audio from the competitors in this report. And that is all from me for now. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the May 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.